Good morning.
This is Charlie Adler, every character on Cow and Chicken, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling.
Ooh, I'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for April 17th, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenfloh, the tax man.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Yes, it's tax day here in the United States.
We are bloodless at this point. I don't think we have anything left in our bodies, Steve.
Happy tax day to everyone. I hope you have given your pound of flesh and... We thank you, especially us who get paid.
I hope you found good accountants that made sure you didn't have to give a pound of flesh.
Well,
but let's just say, America keeps rolling on because we pay good.
Here's where it's complicated for me, Chip. I get paid from those tax dollars. So when you pay your taxes, I get paid. So thank you, America. I enjoy my middle America lifestyle.
Revolution, baby.
Lawyers first. Lawyers first, not teachers.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week, and you got a chance to see two really, really different movies this week.
I got to see Chappaquiddick there, Steve.
Chappaquiddick. We are going to now review Chappaquiddick and do the other thing.
Adopt your Massachusetts accent.
So, okay, you have to tell me the whole story of Chappaquiddick. I know
he's
so
no Mayor
little.
Quimby, Steve.
Chappaquiddick is the story of Ted Kennedy. That's all I know. You have to tell me the rest.
Ted Kennedy makes some bad decisions, and a person died, Steve.
Ted's really bad, no good, awful day.
Well, think about this. John F. Kennedy died. Bobby Kennedy had died. I mean, we're dealing with Ted Kennedy. He's the other brother. Mm-hmm. He's a senator, and they're up at Chappaquiddick there, Steve. And Chappaquiddick's like maybe a little island, and there's beach houses on it. For those of you in North Carolina, that's like the Outer Banks, but you know, it's a Massachusetts type stuff. A lot colder. It's a beautiful place to go and hang out when the sun goes down. Really, there's no lights around. Everybody just goes and hangs out. It's the beach, man. It's the beach.
Beach lifestyle.
Absolutely. And Ted Kennedy comes in to thank the staff that he's working with. He's trying to convince this lady, who eventually passes away, Steve, that she should join his staff.
Okay.
She's working on small campaigns. She had worked with his brother. And they go for a drive. And he may have been drinking. I'm sorry. He had been drinking. He definitely had been drinking.
I think there's a lot of evidence on that one.
Okay. He went over a bridge, flipped a car. He was able to get out of this car, Steve. Mm-hmm. He was able to get out of this car. He was able to open the door, swim to shore, and sit on the shore. The door closed. He thought about it for a little while, walked back to the cabin, maybe a mile. I don't know how long it was. Certainly wasn't immediate. Grab some people, come back to the car. Anyway, it may have been a half hour, 45 minutes, or whatever. They tried to save this person, but this person may have already been dead. So he decides he's going to go to where the ferry comes, picks up a boat, and they row it across back to mainland. Then he decides to go to a hotel, take a shower, go to bed, go to sleep. Not call in this death.
This emergency.
This emergency. Not call it in. And then eventually he puts out a statement, and he asks the world to judge him on his actions. And ultimately, he became senator for 25 years or so. I don't know how long he was a senator.
Wow.
He was a senator forever. But he was supposed to run for president. He ran for president in 1980. But this happened in 69. And my point is that, my God, imagine you were put in that type of situation. I'm certainly not judging a person for being shell-shocked or anything like that. But I would judge a person for when they have the ability to help. He basically let her die. You know, I don't know if she was knocked out. I don't know the whole story. But the deal was, is he let her die. But he was able to save himself. And then thought about himself the whole time. Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting movie. Ed Helms plays just a wonderful part. The Australian actor who plays Ted Kennedy there, Mayor Quimby, he did a good job. Okay. I think they've got great actors. In fact, the interesting part, I can't spoil it too much, but the actress who dies in this movie mm-hmm. May suffer a similar fate in House of Cards, Steve. I don't want to give away spoilers, but she was in House of Cards too.
Yeah, I think we can spoil the historic moment from 1969. I think we have enough information from that. But this particular actress happens to be in House of Cards for a while
Let's just say that similar fates, Steve. This was a, and that was a spoiler, total spoiler. Mm-hmm. I enjoy this. I would say 70 out of 100. I think people should enjoy this.
I have heard good things. I've heard that this is a film that is at least a good adventure from the historic perspective. But
We don't know if they're true. Many times these movies become the truth that we remember.
Right.
But I think there's enough evidence that, let's just say, Ted Kennedy made poor decisions mm-hmm. and did not suffer for it.
Wow.
I'm sorry. He suffered for a night.
Wow.
But he slept on it. So anyway.
That's something. Then, to cleanse your palate, you went to go see Blockers.
Blockers. I did go see Blockers.
This is the story of basically, it's American Pie from the parents' perspective. So we suspected that this was a movie that would really appeal to us as the parents of teenagers.
So I'm going to spoil this movie too. I'm just going to say the best part of it is Gary Cole.
Yes.
Gary Coleman.
No.
The guy from Avenue Q, right?
No, Gary Cole, the guy from Office Space.
So from Office Space.
I'm going to need to come in on Saturday.
Oh, and also the Brady Bunch movie.
Do you have those TPRS reports?
Yes, anyway, Gary Cole plays the father of one of the children.
Okay.
And the wife. As everyone goes to prom, he dresses in a tuxedo and his wife dresses in a prom dress. And they have games, Steve.
They stay at home.
They have games around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of funny scenes where Gary Cole and his wife are, let's just say they're an adventurous couple. They're an adventurous couple in the home.
Okay.
So I think that that's probably the best part of it.
Did you enjoy this film as a whole?
No. So if you want to see a movie like this, go see Game Night. Game Night was very fun.
Okay.
This movie is not as fun. So this movie is probably 50 out of 100.
So Office Space and Game Night, that would be your Saturday.
Well, those are much better. Those are much better.
Coming on a Saturday.
So how many pieces of flair? How many pieces of flair are you wearing, Steve? All right. So Blockers, I think it suffers from a real challenge. One, we've got young people who have they're much brighter. They're making reasonable decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's some fun stuff, pharmacy stuff. But there's also a lot of, the girls are very thoughtful.
Okay.
They're thinking about the decisions they're making. They're thinking about how those actions will have. They're very conscious of their life. And that seems to be the disconnect
mm-hmm.
because the parents have no conscience for what they're running around. They're just people with their head cut off going through, like it's the 1980s. Like it's Porky's, but with the kids are all level-headed.
Hmm.
I shouldn't say.
The parents are buffoons.
Far, far more level-headed. Yes, there's some funny parts. Okay. Yes, you'll laugh to it. But it's certainly, Game Night is much more...
thoughtful, maybe?
Better.
Much
more better. Much more better.
Better story, better characters, a better experience for Game Night.
Sure. And the actors are great in this. And yes.
Even John Cena? Was John Cena okay?
Everybody's fine.
Okay.
The scene where he grabs the underwear and starts nibbling on it.
Yeah.
And then they go, that's his daughter's?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's where it gets good. And by the way, you can see that in the trailer.
Yeah, just watch the trailer. We suspected that about this trailer, that maybe all the funny parts were in the trailer.
Yeah, 50 out of 100 would be generous for this. Okay. This movie, go see Game Night. Game Night's better.
All right. I have been sitting around watching Netflix all week. I saw on my list they're really pushing Seth Rogen's Hilarity for Charity. This came out last week, and Netflix is really wanting me to watch it. So I thought, okay, I sort of like Seth Rogen. I generally like his comedy most of the time. I'll watch this. This is a beautiful idea. Lauren Rogen, Seth's wife, her mother died from Alzheimer's, suffered from Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
and so they put together this charity to help promote awareness and to get some funding for Alzheimer's research to try to get rid of this terrible disease.
Well, if you're not familiar with it, what ends up happening is slowly you start forgetting the life around you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember, you may not remember your wife, you may not remember your children. In fact, there was just a movie about this.
The Leisure Seeker.
Oh, yes.
That had terrible ratings.
Did it? Too bad. Anyway, Alzheimer's is a horrible disease. The deal is that you potentially don't have any stress. You could live 10, 15 years mm-hmm. with it. It's awful. It's awful.
It is a terrible disease. So I really wanted to support this cause to watch this. I found no joy in this. There's so many stars. It's a cavalcade of stars of comedy coming out to give to this charity, and I found no joy in this. You know me. You've seen how often I laugh at movies. I laugh at really silly, dumb stuff. I didn't laugh one time at this.
That's too bad, because this kind of reminds me of the Big Sexy Valentine special mm-hmm. they had maybe 2 years ago in February, where they had a whole cavalcade of comedians come out. And except for Michael Bolton, who seemed to be likable, who was our host,
mm-hmm.
It seemed to be just way off base in the comedy. Nothing seemed to be funny.
Yeah, that's what I felt on this one. It really did not hit me at any moment. I was touched by the message and the charity of it, but not by the comedy of it.
Okay, but you did start something, Steve, that we're going to be reviewing full-time soon.
Yes, I'm not going to give a full review of it yet, but I want to tell you, go stop this podcast right now and go watch Lost in Space on Netflix, especially the first 20 minutes. It is a wonderful science fiction adventure on the level with the remake of Battlestar Galactica. It has all the feels in that first 20 minutes. You go through a full emergency situation, and as an audience member, I was in this story in the first 20 minutes.
All right, so we're recording this before I've had a chance to see it.
Yes.
But it sounds a lot like Battlestar Galactica 33. Like, wasn't that the second show?
That was
show?
The episode such an emergency situation in that episode.
They're jumping, and they kept jumping, and the silence would show up wherever they're jumping. And by the time it was over, you could just feel the exhaustion of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on for hours and hours and hours.
This is so good. I recommend this very highly. It's 10 hours. I've only gotten through the first two at this point. The first 2 hours were very good. You get all the character development. You know these people by the end of the second hour. This would have been a good two-hour movie, much better than the last Lost in Space movie, which I also liked, by the way.
Okay.
But this is another Netflix home run.
All right, so you're going to remember that, because we're getting ready to go through the movies opening up, and Lost in Space sounds much better.
I think Lost in Space is the right thing for this week. Opening this week, other than Lost in Space on Netflix, there is a dolphin movie just called Dolphins. This is in the Disney Nature line of films.
So every year on Earth Day or near Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day, everyone.
That's right.
Hey, it's on Sunday.
The Earth says hello, baby. Anyway, there is a movie that comes out. There have been chimpanzees. There's been all sorts of nature mm-hmm. stuff. Anyway, this is the latest one. It's about dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins are not flipper. They're not happy people. They can be very mean.
Yes, that's true.
They can be mean, but they will not be mean in this. I'm sure they're going to be wonderful.
I'm sure this is a wonderful documentary. I love all the Disney nature documentaries. That's one thing that Walt Disney did really well at the beginning of the Disney Corporation was, let's be the education. Let's show people what nature is like. And these documentaries, for the most part, have really been educational and worth your time. There is an Amy Schumer vehicle.
All the Amy Schumer trailers always look like, oh, that one would be pretty good.
The story here seems like a good story. This movie is called I Feel Pretty, and I emphasize the word feel because that's the story here. Amy Schumer, I believe, is a beautiful woman. I think she's very attractive.
Absolutely.
She has low self-esteem in many of her roles. She feels for some reason or another that she's not adding up to the same beauty of other people on the screen. That's the story here. She has an accident.
She gets hit over the head, Steve.
She falls down and hits her head. And when she wakes up, she feels like she's the most beautiful person in the world. And she starts acting like she's beautiful.
Fake it till you make it, baby.
That's it. That is exactly the theme of this. I hope that it lives up to my expectations. I have a feeling it might.
Well, we'll find out. Amy Schumer's stuff, you have to aim low. Maybe it hits.
Maybe.
But they seem to put a lot of effort behind her material.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they usually put good casts around her.
And it seems to be a great message. The message is be yourself. Be a strong person. And
I'm
don't
beautiful,
worry about
Steve.
The outside.
I'm beautiful.
I think that's a great message. I hope that this movie really, really does well. There is a sequel coming out in theaters this week. This is Super Troopers 2, the sequel to the 2001 comedy Super Troopers.
If you couldn't get enough, you have a second one.
Oh, boy. I there's something about comedy that emphasizes idiocy of authority figures that really bothers me. When there's an idiot teacher, when there's an idiot
judge. Those are
judge,
always funny, Steve.
There's an idiot police funny. Officer. This one, I didn't find the first one funny enough to go see the second one.
Sort of airplane-ish.
Yeah. Yes. And I love airplane.
And the silliness.
I love farce comedy, the ridiculous sure. comedy. But boy, you take authority like policemen and say, "Ha ha, they're stupid. Look how stupid they are." I don't buy that.
I don't either. Steve, do you have a really dark story that maybe we don't want to really talk about?
There is a movie called Traffic.
That sounds interesting.
Spelled with a K, not traffic with a C. So it's not about just driving to work. This is a very dark suspense film featuring Omar Epps as a normal, regular guy.
These are people trafficking, right?
Is it?
I don't know. But let's just say it sounds awful.
It is scary. The trailer for this is downright frightening. I think it might be a good movie, but I don't know that I'll ever want to put myself through this situation and watch this movie.
These are the type of stories you kind of read and you kind of cringe as you're reading them, like in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I would want to sit through 2 hours of one, but I know some people will. If I was going to go to the theater this week, this is probably what I would go to see.
Really?
Well, I would, because of the movies that we've seen so far.
On that list, that's the one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, there's Lost in Space, Steve.
Lost in Space is my choice. I am going to watch all 10 hours of Lost in Space, and I'll report back next week.
Book it.
Brings us to our book of the week. You got a chance to read a book called Let Your Life Speak, Listening for the Voice of Vocation. This is from 2009, and the author's name is Parker J. Palmer. It's one of those self-help books talking about how you can be a better person.
He's a professor, Steve. Very, very bright guy. And this was actually introduced to me, this book, this week, by a professor that I know that I met up at Rockford University a couple of years ago. And he usually has very thoughtful posts. And okay. I really enjoy reading his. And he said, "Oh, you should read this book."
So that's Professor Albert Lowen.
Yes, down in Guatemala.
In Guatemala.
That's
wow.
right.
So, we are international.
International, Steve.
International podcast sensation. Too much scrolling.
He's a professor down at the university. Anyway, I'm sitting there and I decided, yes, I will read this.
Mm-hmm.
This is Parker Palmer, started out seminary up in Minnesota, eventually left seminary, wasn't the right life for him. Where do you go when you're leaving seminary, Steve?
Straight to California.
Cal Berkeley, of course, probably the most liberal place in the world.
Yeah.
Live the dream, my friend. And then he goes from there to Georgetown University, that's where he's going to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And he was brought in as a professor, sounds like he was brought in to help the activism and stuff like that for the professors. He really wasn't doing research or stuff. He taught there for a while. Eventually took a sabbatical, Steve.
Okay.
Went up to Pennsylvania to be whatever the Quaker version of a monastery is.
Wow.
He went up there for a summer and stayed for 10 years, it sounds like.
Wow.
Steve, this is a very, very smart guy mm-hmm. that seems to spend an entire book trying to discover himself. Going through depression, going through sort of self-discovery, and it seems like just a very smart guy that wanted to write about it. This was not my favorite book.
Okay.
I did go through it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed some of his insights. I more enjoyed like where he went, like when he's talking about Georgetown. That was fun.
Because,
mm-hmm. Georgetown's in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
He's at Cal Berkeley. I don't mind listening a little bit about what goes on at Cal Berkeley. But man, this is just a smart guy whose wheels are turning, who just can't seem to anchor himself anywhere.
So did you get any knowledge, any insight into the human condition reading this book?
That smart people can fumble their way through life.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. That's what I got. And they can write a book about it. And I have nothing against Parker Palmer. I hope he's a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he is. But he just seems like that. Yeah, if you ran a hot dog stand, the guy running a hot dog stand can be there his whole life and have a good life and enjoy himself. And this guy, his wheels in his head just keep moving. And he seems to just feel like that somehow he's got to explore his inner workings as opposed to engaging.
I see how a smart person can be caught up in that. I'm glad that I don't have that problem.
Well, let's just say that I did the best I could, Steve. I was given a book to read, and I accomplished it.
There you go. When professors speak, we do the homework. That's how we do these things here on Too Much Scrolling.
Scroll with it.
It is time to celebrate, Chip.
So Wednesday is the big celebration. Tomorrow. Sounds like Action Comics 1000.
Issue 1000 is coming out for Action Comics. Isn't that amazing?
How long ago did Superman start, or Action Comics?
That is 80 years of history of Superman. Action Comics number one was published in 1938.
Wow. All right, so this book comes out in two formats. There's a newsstand version of it. I shouldn't call it a newsstand. You have to go to a comic store to get them.
Good luck trying to find a newsstand or a comic store at this point. They're still there.
Well, they're still around. Yeah, they're still around. Find one. Well, there's also, you can order through Amazon store, there's a deluxe version, Steve.
Nice.
$20. Anyway, there's probably a whole bunch of stories and a whole bunch of other things.
It's a celebration. This is a celebration. Superman is such a part of our culture. We know so much about Superman over the last 80 years. It's time to celebrate and see what's coming next, maybe.
Well, sort of the modern mythology would be the great part. In fact, well, let's talk a little bit about this, because one of my favorite books about Superman that I've read. In fact, we haven't reviewed it. Maybe I'll reread this book and we'll review it.
Might be a summer read.
That's right. It's by a Virginia Commonwealth University professor. He's an English professor. Tom DeHaven wrote a book called It's Superman. It's a novel.
Okay.
When I remember reading it, it's very good. It's sort of a reimagining. He's kind of an alien type of guy, just a big guy. He comes to Earth. And sort of how he's interacting and discovering the Midwest, and, you know, Kansas.
And being that all-American guy, that hero that we needed through the 30s and the 40s and all the way through 80 years of history.
All right, so Tom DeHaven's written a number of novels. This is his only Superman novel.
Okay.
But every time there's a Superman movie, every time there's some kind of Superman thing come up, in fact, I'll guarantee there will be an interview with Tom DeHaven. In fact, Tom DeHaven, we did review one of his books. And basically, it's his prep notes because of the phone calls he gets for the interviews to talk to him about Superman.
Yeah.
And so he writes kind of a history of Superman, the character, so he can prepare. This is his notes, so he can prepare for these interviews because he wrote one novel about Superman. No reason to call the comic guys.
Right.
Call this guy who wrote a novel.
Professor DeHaven.
That's a serious work, Steve.
So I'm going to go email him now and see if we can get him on the show.
Oh, he's awesome. Anyway, in fact, if you're at Virginia Commonwealth in Richmond, I'm sure you would have a great time with having him as your professor, because I think he writes kind of noir stuff.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to mention is that we're getting ready to have a new writer take over Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And the Superman stories. So his name is Brian Michael Bendis.
And we've talked about him many times on the show. He's one of those comic authors that has been around for a while now.
Sure. In fact, if you watch The Untouchables, you want to know what happened to Elliot Ness. Mm-hmm. He wrote the follow-up story to that. Elliot Ness left Chicago, ended up going to Cleveland. And anyway,
that's
there
a
was...
downgrade.
Well, anyway, there was another...
Sorry, Cleveland.
There was another scandal that was going on. They found a torso,
a
body without legs, without arms, and without a head. Mm. And Bendis wrote the story of Elliot Ness and the investigation of this torso. And so you can look for that. But
the title of it is Torso.
It is called Torso.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Bendis also works with the Netflix series Daredevil, Jessica Jones, I guess Punisher, and the Defenders.
Marvel series, yeah.
Power Man. Luke Cage and Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he has written He is a consultant for that. He is a writer that wrote all those characters over at Marvel, but has since left. He's getting ready to take over Superman. Now, Superman, we discussed, Grant Morrison wrote a book called Super Gods, where he discussed a lot of his ideas on superheroes,
mm-hmm.
Where he talked about Superman being a Christ figure. Superman's pretty much been everything. He's been the boyfriend of Lois Lane.
Right.
He's been the sitcom type of player. He's been kind of an Archie type of character where, he's been the boy and Superboy and all these.
Smallville, that whole TV series.
Well, yeah. And you think about the cartoons he's mm-hmm. been in, the radio shows he's been in. Everything seemed to add, the movies seems to add to the mythos of Superman. But Bendis is going to bring him back. So, he's not a Christ figure under Bendis. The two guys who create him are Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to bring him back as a Moses-type character.
Wow.
So if you think of Krypton, mm-hmm. And you think of the story of Moses, Moses is going down the Nile on a basket. Well, how did Superman get to Earth? I mean, he was thrown in a rocket, and he landed in the Midwest in Kansas, picked up by a family. And he's going to protect...
The people
of Earth.
Let my people go.
To the United States, right? To the United States.
Right.
Keep our borders open. That's what he says. Anyway, interestingly enough, this will be a very interesting take on this. Bendis is a very gifted and thoughtful writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's going to do very good at taking apart the Superman mythos.
And those are going to start in May. So we have that to look forward to in the next chapter of Superman.
Now, Steve, we have an announcement to make because we're having such a good time.
Oh, we had such a good time. We went to Indiana Comic Con. We met so many wonderful people. One of the wonderful people we met, you heard from in our last show, her name is Jessica Eyes. She wrote a novel named Renee. It's very difficult to find. You have to go to our show notes and click on the link to get to the right book, because Renee is a pretty generic name, but this is a interesting story.
Now, there's a Kindle version that's very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a paper version, because some people prefer the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So you can order both of those through Amazon. And this is an author who's currently living in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes a wonderful blog, and we'll continue to link to that. But what we're really interested is in this time travel story, Steve.
Yes, 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 yes. You got my attention. Yes.
So this is one of our homework assignments. This is the end of the year homework assignment.
End of the school year.
End of the school year,
yes.
Steve.
The countdown is on.
We'll have some summer reading, too. We'll see if we can find some of that. But this is going to be one that we'll read. We've had some wonderful luck with some of the independent authors.
Mm-hmm.
J.F. DeBoe's work has been very, very good.
I got in the shed. Go pick that up and read that one. It's so good and dark.
All right. And then, we have wonderful things like Tal Klein's and Punch Escrow.
Oh, yeah. That's so good.
So, once again, we're going to have a very good chance. We have Jessica Eyes, and we have her book, Renee.
Yep.
We want you to join us. Yep. We're going to have a good time.
Yep. Go to our Amazon store. Actually, I'll make a special web address for this one. Go to renee.toomuchscrolling.com. Pick up your copy of Renee. We are going to discuss it on May 22nd. So you've got a little more than a month to get this book and to read it. I've started reading it and I like it.
As you read it, just email us or text us, however you want to do it.
Send us questions. A voicemail. Yeah. We would love to hear the sound of your voice. Give us a voicemail and record something. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear a discussion. That's when this really gets fun, is when we get the community involved.
And we will ask the author to respond.
Oh, yeah. And she will, probably.
I think so.
I think so. We had a great time talking with her at the Indiana Comic Con. And we look forward to all the conversation that we get to have around this book, Renee. I think, Chip, I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
Absolutely. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Send us an email. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And go get that book, renee.toomuchscrolling.com. Pick that up. Read it. We're going to have a fun discussion about it. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm the tax man, Chip Hessenflow.
See you in the future.